from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulfido, and we begin on the campus of UC Berkeley. Last night, about 1,500 people turned out to protest a speech by Milo Yiannopoulos, a columnist for Breitbart. Both he and the right-wing website are known for explicitly giving voice to white nationalists. Some of the crowd last night used so-called black bloc tactics, covering their body from head to toe and throwing smoke bombs, fireworks, and flares. It forced officials to cancel last night's speech. The California Report's Anna Tentakulis was at the protest and walks us through the disorder.
Right now I'm in the middle of a crowd of student protesters, right in the thick of it. Yeah, so right now they're shooting this. Right now the students are shooting these firecrackers at law enforcement and police. Plumes of black smoke are just going up into the air in front of Sproul Plaza.
I head to a safer spot. Police in riot gear line up on the student union's balcony. I go to see if I can actually get inside to where the talk is scheduled to be. That's where I meet a very frightened Mike Wright with the Berkeley College Republicans, the student club that invited Yiannopoulos. Wright's navy suit is covered in red paint.
I mean, this was thrown at me. It was thrown at a reporter. It was...
This is a pellet that was exploded on your chest. You look like you've been shot. It's red.
It's scary to be on this campus, and the university's done nothing for us.
We get word that the event has, in fact, been canceled, and Yiannopoulos has exited the building. Protesters do a kind of victory dance. In the outskirts of the crowd, faculty members like Wendy Brown are watching all of this unfold. Brown says she and many of her colleagues remember Berkeley's student uprising during the 60s at this very spot, which gave birth to the free speech movement.
And I'm very glad that students and others have not been intimidated by the outcome of the election or by the tremendous intimidation tactics of the right.
This was supposed to be the final stop on Yiannopoulos' cross-country campus speaking tour. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis in Berkeley.
And this morning, President Donald Trump suggested federal funds would be withheld from UC Berkeley as punishment for canceling Yiannopoulos' event. Some 55% of Berkeley's research funds come from the federal government. Meanwhile, challenges to President Trump's travel ban on immigrants from 7 majority Muslim countries continue here in California. Late Tuesday, a federal judge ordered the administration allow people with valid immigrant visas to enter the country. These are people who are taking the first steps to becoming a legal resident. Immigration attorneys describe continuing government chaos, with people still being held up on their way and being deprived of their rights. Los Angeles immigration attorney Jihan Thomas alleges federal officers pressured some immigrants to give up their rights to legal residency.
Yes, we've had a couple of cases where lawful permanent residents were asked to sign forms I-407, which is technically asking them to abandon their green card. And people signed, didn't know what it means. And then they found out that that means that they had to relinquish their permanent residency card. It did actually happen. And you can confirm that with specific cases with the ACLU.
A federal lawsuit has been filed on the East Coast on behalf of two Yemeni brothers who were forced to sign forms they did not understand. The Department of Homeland Security has issued statements saying they are cooperating with all judicial orders. But Thomas and other civil rights attorneys allege there are still many problems.
And the federal judge says that ban is not legal. And yet still CPP are sending people out. And now they're notifying the ERAs not to board people on the plane if they belong to one of those 7 countries.
Let's move now to the environment. Californians asking if the drought is over are finding there are no simple answers. But one place where it's definitely done is the Sierra, which provides about a third of the state's water. KQED science editor Craig Miller says this was the snowiest January on record in the mountains.
Statewide, the Sierra are already packing as much snow as you'd expect to find on April 1st, when the snowpack usually peaks. In other words, almost a whole winter's worth of snow is already on the ground. Even more amazing is the amount of snow that fell during the course of just 2 storms in January.
it's unbelievable how much water fell out of the sky during that period of snowpocalypse.
That's NASA hydrologist Tom Painter. We caught up with him 10,000 feet up Mammoth Mountain, where he was checking the density of the snow on Wednesday. Sitting atop all that snow, Painter tried to imagine the same scene just 2 years ago.
If we had a time machine that we were sitting in right now, and all of a sudden it decided to take us back to 2015, we would fall about 15 feet to the ground. So it's a transformed landscape.
Painter says if you took the entire average annual flow of the Colorado River and added 25% to that, that's how much water fell from the sky as snow during just two monster storms in January. That means water stored in the mountains will run off gradually in the spring, providing a steady refill for reservoirs up and down the state. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, the website that shows all financial accounts in one place and helps plan for retirement. PersonalCapital.com. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services, such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
There has been a massive social media campaign against President Trump's pick for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, including that campaign Los Angeles-based philanthropist Eli Broad. Like DeVos, he's a big proponent of charter schools, but unlike DeVos, Broad doesn't think she's qualified. In a letter to U.S. senators, Broad wrote, quote, "With Betsy DeVos at the helm of the U.S. Department of Education, much of the good work that has been accomplished to improve public education for all of America's children could be undone." We're expecting the U.S. Senate to vote on DeVos today, February 2nd. We'll update you tomorrow on the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.